Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. For most of you, the desire to learn didn't stop after college. That's the motivation behind The Great Courses. The Great Courses features engaging, informative audio and video lectures from some of the top professors and experts in their fields, like Understanding Investments by Connell Fullenkamp, financial economics professor at Duke University. The course is designed to broaden and deepen the knowledge of more experienced investors while introducing the fundamentals of investing to those new to the subject. The Great Courses has been in production for over 20 years, with over 500 courses on many subjects, including science, mathematics, history, art and music, philosophy, and more. Listen to or watch The Great Courses with online downloads and streaming via their apps or on DVDs or CDs at your own pace, and no exams. The Great Courses has a special offer for Wall Street Journal listeners. Order Understanding Investments and get 80% off the original price. But this 80% savings is only available for a limited time. Don't wait. Go to thegreatcourses.com/WSJ. That's thegreatcourses.com/WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Baghdad threatened by extremists. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Mike Weinstein, who's in for Gina Cervetti. Glad you're with us. It is Friday, June 13. Here's what's coming up this hour.
The insurgents who've overrun the Iraqi cities of Mosul and Tikrit this week are now threatening the capital. Will the U.S. offer a military response?
Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl is back in the States. He's arrived from Germany at a military hospital in San Antonio.
In sports, the Spurs deliver another smackdown on the Heat, and the World Cup opens with a bang after a slow start for the host country.
And the new training that appears to be saving lives when it comes to mass shootings.
In the case of the Oregon High School, they did their own training, and what they did is they went on this high school campus during the summer, and they had student actors, they had fake bullets that had paint on them, and they simulated an active shooter training. And what they try to emphasize to the officers is that you need to get there quickly and respond as fast as possible.
Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson on preparing for what are called active shooter scenarios. He's here in about 10 minutes. The situation in Iraq is deteriorating quickly. The government is scrambling to protect the capital of Baghdad from advancing insurgents. As part of that, fighters from Iran said their forces had joined the battle on the side of Baghdad, and the U.S. is considering military assistance. More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Farnaz Fasihi, who's with us this morning from her post in Beirut. Farnaz, what's happening here?
I think that we almost can't talk about events in Iraq today without mentioning the legacy that the U.S. left behind. I mean, after the U.S.-led invasion, there were several policies that the Americans put in place that helped marginalize the Sunnis. They de-ba'athified, they basically dismantled the Iraqi army, which was mostly made up of Sunnis. They did a purging process where Sunnis who were in Saddam's government lost their jobs. It really contributed to a growing sense among Sunnis that they were being marginalized, and that the government that came after, that the Americans helped put in power, was a Shia government. And it sort of fanned the flames of sectarian tension. And the result is what we see today.
All right. So is it true that some Iranian security forces now have joined Iraqi fighters?
Yes. Iran, from the very early on after the U.S. invasion, started dispatching, you know, Revolutionary Guard soldiers and elite members of their overseas branch, the Quds forces, into Iraq, because Iraq is a very strategic country for Iran. It has a very long border. It's a gateway for Iran to access the Mediterranean Sea towards Syria and Lebanon. Iran wanted ideologically, strategically, politically to have an ally emerge after the U.S. invasion and the fall of Saddam. And they succeeded in doing that. They've invested heavily in Iraq, and they will not stand by and watch Sunni extremists or al-Qaeda take over the country. What we know is that the Revolutionary Guards have dispatched two battalions to help protect the Shia cities of Najaf and Karbala and the capital Baghdad. There was also an existing force in Iraq that has gone to help the Iraqi army fight in Tikrit.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Farnaz Fasihi. She's with us today from her post in Beirut, Lebanon, talking about how Iraq is defending Baghdad. With Tikrit and Mosul, for example, are the Iraqi security forces just not prepared? Or are they not willing to fight? What's going on?
I'm not sure if it's it's the fact that they're not prepared. They've been trained by Americans. They have American weapons. I think what's going on is that they probably are infiltrated. They feel that they're not, maybe they're not as loyal to the Iraqi central government, the Shia government of Mr. Nouri al-Maliki, as one would hope. The army is supposed to be a unifying force to bring all of Iraqis or all of the countrymen to, but the sectarianism that has been prevalent in Iraq has also cast a shadow over the army. So now we see perhaps Sunnis defecting and leaving those areas for insurgents to take. It's an extremely worrisome development because it has ramifications across the region. It will destabilize Lebanon. It will destabilize Iran. It could make things in Syria worse. It's a bad situation.
What's the worst case scenario, Farnaz?
Well, I think the worst case scenario is if they actually succeed in getting to Baghdad, even control parts of Baghdad, because that would really suggest that the government of Baghdad can't control the country. I think that would be a very large red flag.
What about the potential for U.S. involvement here, whether airstrikes from manned or unmanned drones? Where are we with that?
Well, I think that they said that the latest that I read is that the White House has said that they're meeting and they're discussing whether or not to help the Iraqi government. I think that many people in Iraq feel that the U.S. has a responsibility toward Iraq, and the threat of terrorism is very real, and cannot be contained within the borders of Iraq. So they're asking the U.S. for help.
Thanks, Farnaz. Wall Street Journal reporter Farnaz Fasihi from Beirut. In her story, she reports that senior U.S. officials are saying Iraqi officials have signaled they would allow U.S. airstrikes on militants. 12 minutes now after the hour. Well, a U.S. drone strike in Pakistan that targeted militants from Afghanistan's Haqqani network has killed a senior official. Here's more now from the Wall Street Journal this morning's John Metaxas.
Well, Gordon, U.S. drones actually struck two locations in Pakistan's North Waziristan tribal region that's near the border with Afghanistan. The strikes were the first U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan in almost 6 months. At least 11 suspected militants were killed. This happened Wednesday and yesterday. Most notable among them, Haji Ghul. He's described by Pakistani intelligence as a senior commander of the so-called Haqqani network. That's part of the Afghan Taliban. Pakistani officials say the strike also destroyed a vehicle that had been rigged for a suicide attack across the border in Afghanistan. The Haqqani network has carried out a series of attacks against Western targets, including one on the U.S. Embassy in Kabul in 2011.
All right. Thank you, John. 13 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Remember, by the way, that you can follow the Wall Street Journal this morning on Twitter, Facebook, and now tune in. Join the tens of thousands already following us on the new TuneIn app and also TuneIn.com. Coming up next, the new training that appears to be saving lives when it comes to mass shootings.
When I was pregnant, I got more advice than I knew what to do with. What I needed was information I could trust on how to take care of me and my baby. Luckily, United Healthcare has a simple program that helps moms stay on track with their doctors and get the right care and guidance before and after the baby is born. Simple is good right now.
Innovations that work for you. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. If there's a silver lining in that deadly shooting at a suburban Portland high school earlier this week, it's that more people were not killed. Investigators say preparation for such an incident by officers, students, and school staff played a critical role in preventing more deaths. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson with a look at the training. He joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Zusha, who does the training?
So there's a number of little organizations that do them. In the case of the Oregon High School, they did their own training, and what they did is they went on this high school campus during the summer, and they had student actors, they had fake bullets that had paint on them, and they simulated an active shooter training. And what they try to emphasize to the officers is that you need to get there quickly and respond as fast as possible. This is a change from about 15 years ago when the thinking was that you should secure the perimeter and wait for SWAT teams, more heavily armed SWAT teams, to show up to deal with an armed intruder. Now the idea is the first police officer who arrives has to deal with the shooter. And ultimately that is what happened here at the Oregon High School. Some school resource officers who were on the scene as well as the first arriving cops confronted the shooter after he had killed one student. There was a exchange of gunfire, and then he shot himself. But a lot of people are crediting the quick response with preventing more deaths in this case.
Texas State University has pioneered a specialized kind of training, right?
That's right. So there's a training program out of Texas State University. The acronym for it is ALERT, and they train police departments all over the country in this type of active shooter training. And a big thing they emphasize is teaching sort of regular patrol officers the tactics of dealing with active shooters, because they say that they're likely going to be the first ones on the scene, not some SWAT team. Since the Sandy Hook shooting in 2012, police departments have just been writing them and calling them and asking for this training. Currently, they have a backlog of 350 police agencies around the country. They're waiting to take these courses. That's the biggest backlog they've had in their 12-year-old history. So certainly the demand for training is up, and more schools and police departments are doing this training.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson. Does this training go beyond school shootings and also into places like malls, offices, etc.?
Malls are also a big place. We've spoken with mall owners who run these active shooter drills where they'll have actors and makeup and people shooting blanks, offices as well. But because of the news this last week, a lot is focused on school shootings.
It's great they're working to reduce the number of casualties, but are there steps being taken to keep these incidents from happening at all?
The data is a little hard to parse just because of depends on your definition of what you call a mass shooting. But by some studies, these active shooter events are increasing in recent years. But still other studies which measure mass shootings, measuring sort of any incident where four or more people are shot by a gun, those show that sort of mass shootings have remained steady over the past 30 years. So there's a little debate about what the data says. Even so, I think there's a lot being done to prevent these from happening in the first place. I think teachers, students, everyone is much more trained through these trainings to look for signs and to react much more quickly to these things.
Thanks, Zusha. Wall Street Journal reporter Zusha Ellenson. It is 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Mike Weinstein is here. He has America's first news.
Gordon, the government of Iraq is preparing to defend its capital as insurgents continue advancing towards more conflicts in the region. President Obama has been meeting with his team to figure out a counter move, which could include military action against the Kurdish and Sunni militants that have been advancing towards Baghdad. Iran has even sent some of its Revolutionary Guard to the area to help. The uncertainty has led to a sharp rise in crude prices. The U.S. conducted drone strikes against militants in Pakistan. The first one killed 11, including the senior commander of the insurgent group there. The second attack killed 8, including another high-ranking Taliban commander. Hollywood is mourning a loss. Ruby Dee has died.
I never asked you where this came from because I didn't want to hear you lie.
I don't want you to worry about it. Now, come on. I got to go.
Don't lie to me.
The actress and political activist appeared in many films, including that one, American Gangster, with Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe. She was also known as a civil rights activist and radio talk show host. Ruby Dee was 91. Looking inside, some new data reveals that the middle class is in worse shape than the numbers might indicate, as the difference between the haves and have-nots are skewing the calculations of average wealth, according to Rick Newman of Yahoo Finance.
These guys at the top, they are starting to become so rich that they're distorting the numbers so that these averages that we thought used to tell us about the fortunes of the middle class really are so skewed they may not tell us anything meaningful anymore.
The average American household has $710,000 in assets, with the uber-rich in the U.S. bringing that number higher than what most families actually have. NASDAQ futures down 2 points. S&P 500 futures now also lower as we head towards Wall Street's opening bell with a couple of days of losing streaks in our back pocket. Host Brazil came back to defeat Croatia 3-1 in the first match of the World Cup. The game was not without controversy as the home team received a gift from the referees, calling a questionable penalty against the Croatians, which led to a goal on a penalty kick. Three matches are on today's schedule. And Gordon Harrison Ford is recovering from an ankle injury suffered while shooting the latest Star Wars movie. No word on the severity, but the actor known for his role as Han Solo is recuperating in a local hospital. Shooting will continue as planned while Ford recuperates.
Gotta be careful, old man.
You looking forward to that? Are you a Star Wars fan?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
No. Not Star Trek, not Star Wars, none of that.
All right.
I mean, I did see the first Star Wars.
Sure.
But that was it. For some reason, the sci-fi stuff is not my thing.
Okay.
I can't recite movie lines, TV lines, nothing. I'm useless on that. 22 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours. which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Time now for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by Autotrader.com. Find a great deal on a brand new car at Autotrader.com. Compare prices and special offers on new cars from local dealers. Autotrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace. It's not one risky behavior for teenagers, it's another, right? Turns out we don't have to worry so much, though, about them smoking and drinking, but texting while driving is apparently rampant now. A new government study finds too many of them admitted texting while driving in the previous 30 days. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Esterl. Mike, what are we learning?
The biggest cause of preventable death in the U.S. is cigarette smoking. About nearly 500,000 Americans die every year. And there's been some real significant progress in that area. The teen smoking rate for, this is high school students who have had at least one cigarette in the past month, fell to just under 16%, 15.7% last year. And that's down from 18.1% in 2011, the last time that this study was conducted. And it's down from 21.9% in 2003. So it's been falling quite steadily now for since peaking in the late 90s, according to this study, at least, which only goes back to 1991.
Are we also seeing less drinking and fewer fights?
That's right. Yeah. And the drinking thing is interesting. During the 1990s, the drinking rate, that is teens who would have at least one drink in the previous 30 days, was stuck around 50%. And that was despite the fact that the U.S. government, the federal government, created a whole bunch of incentives for all the states in the United States to raise the legal drinking age to 21. Some states had it as low as 18 in the 1980s. It took a while to kick in, but it really does appear to be kicking in now. And so there was still a high number. 34.9% of high school students said last year they had at least one alcoholic drink in the previous 30 days. But that was down from 38.7% 2 years earlier, and obviously down from, you know, 50% in the 1990s. And then the other thing that's interesting is fights, physical fight, sharp drop in that area too. So in 2013, just under a quarter, 24.7% of students said they'd be in a physical fight in the prior 12 months. And that was down from 32.8% in 2011 and more than 40% in 1991.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Esterl. What kind of behavior are we seeing an increase in?
Texting and driving, there's not a lot of historic data on this, and it's the first time that the CDC asked that specific question in this biennial survey. But what they found was, maybe not surprising to a lot of people, 41.4% of high school students said that they had texted or emailed while driving a vehicle at least once in the previous 30 days when they were asked last year. Now, that's a pretty high figure. The other thing that teenagers are doing more of, again, not surprisingly, is they're spending a lot more time in front of computers, and those numbers have risen quite dramatically. Nationwide, 41.3% of high school students said they played video games or used a computer for something other than schoolwork for 3 or more hours a day, and that's up from 31% in 2011 and just under 25% in 2009.
Anything remain the same as previous years, Mike?
The rate of high school students who had ever had sexual intercourse was just under 50%, and that's down from the early 90s, but it's little change from recent years. And the percentage of teenagers who have smoked marijuana also has remained steady in recent years. And television, there was a drop in television watching for several years, but it steadied between 2011 and 2013.
Thanks, Mike. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Mike Esterl. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm.
Leaving the country on business takes a lot of planning. Bringing your data plan doesn't. With T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business plan, you'll get unlimited data in over 100 countries automatically. There's no changing plans and no extra charges. Just get off the plane and go. Only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, June 13. Gordon Deal with Mike Weinstein, who's filling in for Gina Cervetti. Glad you're with us. Coming up this half hour, the newest threats from insurgents in Iraq. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl arrives in San Antonio. And what the U.S. could win against other soccer powers if the competition were not about soccer. Quirky journal story about the World Cup coming up in about 20 minutes. Time now for our weekly water cooler briefing. What have people been searching for most on Google lately? We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Zaina Aston. Zaina, listen to this clip, first of all, from the World Cup.
Neymar! Neymar! Y Santa! Goal! 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 Goal!
I've been telling people, right, you have to listen to the World Cup broadcast in Spanish. For that reason.
That is fantastic. Yes, Neymar scored a couple of goals last night as the World Cup kicked off, and it also landed on our trending list. Turns out U.S.-specific searches for the World Cup have beat out searches for NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup playoffs, so Americans do pay a lot of attention to soccer.
How about that? I should clarify, it's Brazilian TV, so it's technically in Portuguese. Why is Mila Kunis trending?
So she went on Jimmy Kimmel, and when Kimmel said to her that his wife and him are pregnant, she took issue with the fact that he had said, "We are pregnant," and so did a public service announcement saying that people should drop the "we" from "we're pregnant" and that men actually are not pregnant.
Whoa, I did not hear that.
Yes, so it is a video on YouTube. I recommend going to see it. It's been very popular with people searching for her and to learn more about her pregnancy, as well as see that clip.
Well, how about that? A little controversy there for Mila, huh? Very good. All right, also play this clip from David Bratt, the economics professor at Randolph-Macon College in Virginia, who knocked out Eric Cantor from the Virginia GOP primary.
This is the happiest moment, obviously, of my life, and I owe it to all of you in this room, number one. So give yourself a hand.
Yeah, I understand that was his wife laughing that was the happiest moment of his life. That surprised me a little bit. But David Bratt and Eric Cantor both getting a lot of searches.
Yes, it was a major surprise this week in Virginia when Congressman Eric Cantor lost the primary election to the relatively unknown David Bratt, and that definitely led people to search to find out more about who David Bratt is, as well as to learn a little bit more about Eric Cantor and how he could have lost this important race.
Yeah, he didn't pay attention. That was how he lost. One more clip, too, from Dumb and Dumber.
Wait a minute. So you mean you have been faking for 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it was all for a gag?
Yep.
That's awesome!
That just makes me cringe. That's not one of my movies.
20 years since the first one?
Right. Not one of my movies, though. That kind of, I cannot handle that kind of humor. Why is that trending?
Well, the trailer is now available for Dumb and Dumber 2. After 20 years, Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels will be taking up their old roles again and doing the sequel of the Dumb and Dumber film. And it just, people got really interested online. People have been searching for both the actors as well as the film. And the trailer, which is available on YouTube, already has over 11 million views in just over a couple of days. And the movie doesn't come out until November itself.
Wow. I'm going to say that the decision to make a sequel to that movie was actually Dumb and Dumber. Blue Ivy. Why Blue Ivy?
Blue Ivy, the daughter of Beyonce and Jay-Z, has landed on the trending search list after her hair became the topic of an online petition called Comb Her Hair. People have responded both agreeing and disagreeing with the premise, with many people saying that the petition's absolutely ridiculous, but nonetheless searching to find out more about this petition and of course, pictures of Blue Ivy.
I think Jay-Z sings about that in one of his songs, too, about getting photographed, right? And he's complaining about the publicity. And here we go, Blue Ivy making headlines.
It's just shocking to me that, such a young child can be subject to the celebrity scrutiny already.
That's shocking and disappointing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, do we really need that? Well, anyway, hey, thanks for a few minutes, Zaina. As always, Zaina Aston, Google Trends expert, with us live this morning. 21 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, why you should consider ditching your airline rewards card. Glad you're with us. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by La Quinta. La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of everything so you can take care of business. Book now at LQ.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-LQ. We all know travelers who are obsessed with collecting miles or points on their airline cards, but their loyalty is being challenged right now. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill says as airlines continue to change and often devalue their frequent flyer programs, these consumers may want to consider switching to a new rewards credit card. Katie, take us through the latest, good news.
So all airlines, as people probably know, it seems like every week someone is devaluing their miles or doing something to their frequent flyer point. United Airlines announced on Tuesday that it's going to begin rewarding customers on how much they pay for the tickets rather than how many miles they travel. Delta just did this too. So that means if you get a cheap ticket for a long distance, like if you go cross country and you get a cheap fare, that actually really hurts you. And then they're joining a bunch of others. I mean, all the airlines are doing this, right? So American changed its miles structure. Southwest, their points were devalued by about 14% earlier this year. So basically all the airlines are getting in on this game where they're devaluing their miles and points, which basically just hurts consumers in the long run.
So what can we do? Or do we just have to stand there and take it pretty much?
No. So a lot of people, I mean, I know my in-laws, for example, a lot of people have a Delta card or they have an American card and they love it and they say, oh, I get all these points. Really, in almost all cases now, because of these devaluations that just keep on happening, I mean, Delta's done it multiple times. They've all done it multiple times. You're often better off if you're a frequent traveler with a general travel rewards card rather than a one that's branded to a specific airline. Because those general rewards cards, they let you fly on a whole bunch of airlines and you can get points for hotels and rental cars and all that. So you're almost always, I mean, there's exceptions, like if you really almost always fly a certain airline and you fly a lot, but usually you're just better off with one of those general travel rewards cards.
Well, we're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. So is there a specific card that, say, is, working harder for us than others?
So the first thing I'll say is anyone who, has a branded airline card with a certain airline, use up the, miles that you have now, obviously. You don't want to just ditch it and leave those miles on the table. But once you've done that, there's a site called nerdwallet.com. It basically will pick a card for you. So you say, this is how much I spend, this is what I want out of a card, and it'll pop some suggestions out for you. In general, the three best ones kind of generically are the Barclays Arrival card, the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, and the Capital One Venture Rewards cards. Granted, you need to pay off your balance each month because these tend to have higher interest rates than other cards, but those offer some pretty good rewards. They offer the Barclays Arrival and the Chase Sapphire Preferred 40,000 bonus miles just for signing up, and there's a bunch of other things. So look to those cards if you're a frequent traveler who isn't, super, super loyal to one airline. You just want to kind of fly on the lowest fare and go where you want to go without having to worry whether your airline flies there. Those are some good cards to look into.
Anybody say that it's possible that if enough of us were to do that, ditch the branded airline, that things might change? Like those frequent flyer programs might get more customer friendly again?
I mean, one would think that's what would happen, but seeing as how, I don't know. I mean, it seems like I can barely breathe trying to keep up with the airlines devaluing their points and miles. I'm like, oh, that's another story I need to write. So you would hope that would be true, but I don't know. I mean, they've just been consistently and inconsistently just devaluing these things. So, because, they want them off the books. They cost the airlines money and, I mean, you hope that would happen, but I'm not that optimistic about that.
All right, thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill in New York. I go back to something that our airline writer Scott McCartney said a few months back, and I haven't forgotten it. We were talking about a program like this, and he said the airlines are the only type of business that punishes their customers. And it's stories like this that back it up for sure. 14 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Remember, by the way, you can follow the Wall Street Journal this morning on Twitter, Facebook, and now TuneIn. Join the tens of thousands already following us on the new TuneIn app and TuneIn.com.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Good communication is crucial for any business, especially when the people you work with are not in the same office. You need to be able to stay connected and meet with coworkers and clients wherever they are. That's why millions of small business professionals rely on Citrix GoToMeeting. And you should too. It's the proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. With GoToMeeting, you can share the same screen to review documents and presentations in real time, making it easier for everyone to stay on the same page. And with built-in HD video conferencing, you just need a webcam to see each other face-to-face. It's just like being together in the same room. GoToMeeting allows you to present, demonstrate, and just simply meet from anywhere with any Mac, PC, tablet, or smartphone. See why millions choose GoToMeeting. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ. It is 9 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Mike Weinstein is back. He's got America's first news.
Gordon, tensions continue to intensify in Iraq as militants are threatening to advance to major cities, including Baghdad. The journal's Farnaz Fasihi tells us that this uprising exposes the shortcomings of the current regime.
This suggests that the central government is very weak. It also suggests that the army can't handle the growing threat of the latest insurgency.
President Obama is meeting with his team to discuss how to help the Sunni and help stop the Sunni and Kurdish forces from further advances. This as Iran is sending some of its Revolutionary Guard to the area to help the Iraqi government. Bo Bergdahl returned to the U.S. this morning. Pentagon Press Secretary Rear Admiral John Kirby confirmed that the former prisoner of war has been admitted to the Army Medical Center in San Antonio. His recovery could take months, and don't expect to hear any interviews with Bergdahl while he is there. NASDAQ futures tipping lower by a couple of points, same for the S&P 500 futures, and the price of crude is rising because of that unrest in the Middle East, up around a half buck to $107.04 a barrel. If you have still not picked up something for Dad and are on a tight budget, feeding him might be a good idea. Turns out there are actually more bargains for Father's Day than Mother's Day, according to Cameron Huddleston of Kiplinger's.
A lot of these are restaurants that would appeal to dads, burgers and steaks and very manly meals. A lot of these require the purchase of a meal, but some of them actually dads just get the free meal.
Buy one, get one, and free meal deals are available at places like Beef O'Brady's in Boston Market, and there are specials or gift giveaways at Old Country Buffet, Shoney's, and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, among other retailers. San Antonio is on the brink of winning its fifth NBA title after defeating the Heat 107-86 in Miami last night. No team has ever overcome a 3-1 deficit in the finals, so the prospects of LeBron James and friends earning a three-peat are pretty dim. Game 5 is set for Sunday in San Antonio. And it does seem like there are a lot of major sporting events happening right now. Besides that NBA final, the NHL Stanley Cup, and the World Cup, there's also a golf major underway. German Martin Kaemer leads the U.S. Open after shooting a 65 in round 1 at Pinehurst 2 in North Carolina yesterday. At minus 5, he is 3 shots ahead of 4 other golfers.
How about that?
Yeah.
Even the NBA, as much as I dislike the Heat and am cheering for the Spurs, that has fallen to the wayside for me now that the World Cup is underway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Not a bad time of year.
This is my time of year. I love the World Cup. USA on Monday, 6 o'clock.
That's it? AM or PM?
That's PM against Ghana. The okay. team that has knocked them out of the last two World Cups.
Ooh.
Hashtag payback. 6 minutes in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, speaking of that, what the U.S. could win against other countries if the World Cup weren't about soccer.
Traveling overseas for business comes with a checklist of things to worry about. But with T-Mobile, you can take getting international data off that list. Because with a simple choice for business plan, unlimited data in over 100 countries is automatically included at no extra charge. Only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Thanks for being with us. So how would the World Cup play out if the 32 countries involved were competing in things other than soccer? In other words, what could the U.S. win if it was the World Cup of everything else? You know, the journal did some number crunching. If it was the World Cup of most Starbucks per capita, the U.S. would win with 3.6 Starbucks locations per 100,000 people. Most airports per capita, U.S. with 4.2 airports per 100,000. How about the competition for the most McDonald's? Yeah, USA. Most cars per capita, most CO2 emissions also belong to the U.S. But we don't win at everything here. Mexico, for example, would win the World Cup of most threatened mammals. If there was a World Cup for most unmarried women between the ages of 45 and 49, Brazil takes that crown. Biggest drinkers? Russia. Other unflattering trophy winners? Bosnia and Herzegovina, with the highest unemployment rate of 44%. Of the highest murder rate, that World Cup title would go to Honduras. For Mike Weinstein, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning.